Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This program contains dramatizations of real events. Some names and timelines have been changed. Listener discretion is advised.
We had crimes over the years, but nothing like this. You just don't have this kind of thing every day.
They went into the most isolated area they could find. They were up to things that they didn't want anybody to see.
She knew that it was going to be bad, and there's no way I can talk my way out of this.
Get off of me!
There's no escape at this moment. The area was definitely a place where somebody could do whatever they wanted to.
No! No!
What she went through was just unreal. She could have screamed all she wanted. They wouldn't hurt her. I know I almost had to gasp myself because I kept thinking, how can you do that to a human?
The town that I grew up in, it's very small. You'll have miles and miles of farmland. But then you'll go past that and it'll be mountains and valleys and hills. It was really nice growing up there. It was really wholesome as a child. You know, a lot of morals and beliefs that you pick up just from the people around there, the really nice people. When I was younger, me and Mom, we were very close. We used to joke around. It was really hard for her to find a boyfriend because I came first. My mom was always there. In a town so small like that, there's not a lot to do. We played football just about every weekend and sometimes even after school. My mom told me stories about how she would play on the boys' sports team and how she was challenging all the boys. And honestly, growing up with her, it did not surprise me at all, because that's just the tenacity that she has. You tell her she's not going to be able to do something, and she'll show you 10 ways that she could. It always felt like me and Mom against the world.
Come on, baby. Let's go see Grandma. I gotta go to work. Thank you.
My grandma had recently moved away from where we were. We had actually been living with her, and she moved, and then we went our own way, too. Now, I'm sure she was feeling the absence, and so was I. I was always excited to see my grandma. I was down there visiting. A knock came to the door. And the police were there. It's like, okay, well, this is out of the ordinary. I do remember him, you know, asking if my grandma was Christy Flynn's mom. And I do remember him saying that there's been an incident. I really had no idea what was going on. but I do remember the energy. My grandma was always a strong, confident person. Throughout my life, she would never let me see her cry. But I can remember how vulnerable she was at that moment. I didn't really get a lot from the police officer, just that there was an accident, my mom was involved, and my grandma needed to leave now.
Come on, baby. You are gonna owe me 10 bucks by the end of this game.
She had went to her friend Henry's. He was a really close friend.
Interference!
They were watching football, and my mom was pretty heated.
You've got to be kidding me.
Bite me, Christy.
Damn it, Henry. Come on.
Their TV went out, and I could only imagine the rage that mom was feeling.
Let's just go down to the bar, catch the second half. I'll teach you how to play pool.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
All right. You want to put money on it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm driving.
She played pool a lot. You know, that was her main hobby. And watching football, of course. So they were like, well, we can go watch football and play pool. So it's kind of a win-win here, you know. That was the decision. They left Henry's house. And, you know, if the TV wouldn't have went out, you know, a lot of things would have been different. It was just a very, very small local bar. You know, when I say local, like only locals would go in there. You're not going to pass through town and be like, oh, I want to go to that place. They were having a pretty good time, you know, just enjoying each other's company.
Henry, you're going to have to play better than that if you want to afford a new TV.
Yeah, hit the ball.
Oh, look at this place.
Man, we're here.
Saddle up.
Ooh. Hello.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Come back.
Hey, bartender. You get 3 beers down here?
As soon as they walked in, more than just my mom and Henry were watching their every move.
Hello. That's right up your alley. I say we play some pool, boys.
I say you might be right.
Peterson was a young man, 18 years old at the time. Travis was even younger. He was 16 years old. Much more of a kid. Jimmy Joe Winters was 34, I believe, at the time. Not the kind of person you'd expect to be hanging out with a couple of teenagers at a bar.
Hey, friends. This round's on us.
Thanks, fellas.
All right, boys, let's rack them.
They weren't locals, or at least they weren't familiar. These guys, they didn't act like everybody else. They didn't dress and talk like everybody else. You know, they were just way out of character. There was something off about those guys. Henry was just very inclusive and maybe a little bit more too trusting.
Last call.
So nice, still young. What are we gonna do?
We can go back to my place.
Sure.
You guys wanna pick up some booze on the way?
They were talking about wanting to get more alcohol, wanting to keep the party going. And I think that was a lot of Henry's motivation too, you know, because they're out of beer too. So if these guys go to the liquor store, then maybe we can all party together, you know.
Chrissy, can you give these guys a ride?
She had told Henry throughout the night that she was getting weird feelings about them and that she didn't know them, so she didn't really want to give them a ride.
They're good guys.
I don't have enough room in my truck.
I'll walk. You'll be fine. Have I ever done you wrong? Fellas, Chris is going to give you guys a ride back to my house. I'll meet you there.
My mom being around these guys, you know, just getting that sickening feeling in her gut, telling her that something was wrong. And my mom had tried to exit the bar. She was trying to find a way out of this situation. You know, maybe if I can get away from these guys, everything will just calm down. I can go back to Henry's.
Let's just get started.
He's trying to get out.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Ah. Don't
Do it!
Get in here! She's trying to get out of the truck!
Get back!
Son of a... Just drive!
She knew that it was going to be bad, and there's no way I can talk my way out of this, and there's no present escape at this moment.
Get out of that truck!
Come on.
No! No! Get out! No!
Come on!
Come on! No! Get off of me!
Come on!
Get off of me, bastard! No! No!
Where are you going, sweetheart?
Go to hell.
Yeah?
No! No! No!
No!
Get off! No!
They had her in the truck for several hours. There wasn't a lot of people to notice anything wrong.
And they decided they'd just rape her. They did it repeatedly. I don't know how long it went on. And it's unmerciful.
I have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, nice try, sweetheart.
I need to.
Let her piss.
She's just gonna take off.
What, do you want her to stink up the whole truck? They finally agreed between arguing amongst each other that, you know, go ahead and let her do this. You know, where is she gonna go? What is she gonna do? And she made a run for it.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The younger guy ended up catching her and they drug her back to the truck. And then I'm sure they got more violent after that. I honestly think at that moment they were probably just high off of the adrenaline, off of the control. When somebody has that kind of capacity to do that kind of evil, they have some sort of empowerment, especially when they know that they have absolute control.
Now what?
You know what? She's seen all our faces.
Not here. Not here. We need to take her someplace. Somewhere no one's ever going to find her.
They knew they'd done wrong. And they knew that she could testify against them and everything else. And they knew they were going to be in trouble.
I think that's probably when it finally hit. Okay, well, this has to go further because now she's a witness as well. You know, she knows all of our faces. She knows what we did. She knows what we're capable of. So I think it was at that moment probably when she tried to make that last escape that they all came to terms with, well, she can't live. You know, she can't identify us. There was no good way for them to end this without her dying.
They started looking for a place to get rid of her.
They found a dirt road in Rudy. Rudy is such a small little place. I don't even know if it's considered a township.
It's one of those isolated areas that if you don't want to be observed, you don't want to be found, that would be an area that you would go to. If she had screamed, she would not have been heard.
So they find the most remote location they could. There's probably no streetlights because it was a dirt road, you know. I think there was only a handful of houses down that way.
Come on.
No.
Try to grab something.
All right, come on.
Oh.
No.
There were discussions about, well, what are we going to do? You know, how are we going to do this? You know, in what manner are we going to dispose of this? And one of them had said, well, there's a screwdriver. And, you know, that was kind of the weapon of the choice.
Travis, let's go.
Use this.
Please, I promise.
Pull around.
No.
Come on, hold her steady.
No.
I don't know if it was in the glove box or what, but that's when they decided they started stabbing her with the screwdriver.
When they stabbed her with the screwdriver, you know, it went through her neck and went through her spine.
Come on! You do it!
They took turns stabbing her. It was kind of like, you stab her too, because I'm not going to be the only one guilty, you know? So they end up taking turns.
Finish her.
Get her out of here.
Let's throw in that bear.
That's when they pushed her over the ravine, over the side. And she laid out there naked, beaten and stabbed. And those guys just drove off and left her.
My name's Christy Flynn. I never thought I was gonna die. I don't know why. I never thought I was gonna die. I can remember thinking, there's people this happens to and they don't remember anything. But I remember everything. No human, you know, could do what they done. I can remember him saying, hey, I got a Phillips screwdriver here. And the other one said, what are you gonna do with that? And he goes, watch me. And he just starts stabbing me. One of the first stab wounds paralyzed me. It was 28 times that I was stabbed. I know you can sit here and count stars all over my chest and my neck and my face. It was weird because it was like if you slowed down a movie. I was just watching and you could see it. But I couldn't feel it, and I thank God for that. I had asked God, make me pass out. Don't take my life, just let me pass out. And they thought I was dead, and that's what saved my life. And the next thing I remember is being in the leaves. At that point, I had to decide if I was gonna live or die. Where they ended up dumping me was so isolated. It had deep valleys. Where they threw me off was probably as tall as the ceiling here. My son was standing up there asking me, come on, Mama, we got this, you know. We'll make it, get up here. So I tried. I start crawling.
Mom. Mom.
My mom had always told me that despite being 100 miles away or so, that I was always on top of that hill.
Mom!
She had always said that I was always urging her to come up the hill to not give up.
But I believe that God puts the only thing in front of you that'll make you fight. And that's why he put Chris up there. It's because I fight to death for him. Come on, Mama. We got this. Come on. No, you can't lay down. Come on. And I heard it, and I seen it. God put it in front of me because he knew I'd fight for him. I'd fight for my son.
It would have been so easy for her just to take her final breath and just be done with it then. That showed me how much, you know, I actually meant to my mom. You know, not that it was ever in question, but it's just that magnitude.
I don't know how long it took me to get back that hill. I can remember hearing kids. And so I listened.
Hey, hold on.
The kids was going to the school bus. And two little boys come up to me.
They come across this horrific scene. What they came across was Christy Flynn, left by the side of the road, stabbed multiple times, more than a dozen times. That's what they found. I can't imagine what would be going through the minds of children like that. They, I'm sure, just heard Christy gasping for air, probably trying to speak, probably trying to ask for help, but not being able to.
I remember I was laying there. Of course, I was beat to death and about, and the blood and swollen. And I remember one of them thought I was a monster. I can just remember I had to tell the boys I'm not a monster, and I won't hurt you. I need help.
Go get help. Go!
One of the boys took his jacket or his coat and covered her up, and he stayed with her while the other one ran. And he ran down to where there was the Van Buren police officer's house, and that Van Buren police officer called the sheriff's office and alerted us, and we headed that way. When I first met her, it almost makes me tear up thinking that, because it's hard to look at somebody that's been beaten as bad as she was beaten. And we took pictures of her. It was really horrible to think. You know, I mean, she looked like she'd been in a prize fight. You just can't hardly imagine it. I worked a lot of crimes over the years, and a bad part about police officers is that we can't cry in front of people, you know? And I'm going to tell you, it's hard to sit there and look at something like that and not cry, you know? But you got to hold it, because people think you're weak if you do. You end up bottling up a lot of stuff. They found out that she wasn't stabbed 13 or 14 times. She stabbed 20-something times. I think it was 27 or 28 times. She'd been stabbed several times in the throat. In fact, it messed up her voice box. She was having to write us notes.
Do you know who did this to you?
I couldn't even hold a pen up in this hand because of the nerve damage. Sometime right before the last rape and stabbing, I don't even know which one said it, but they said, "We want you to know who's sending you to hell." That's how I knew all their names.
But she knew their names, their first names. So that was the first huge break in the case, that she knew the first names of the three perpetrators.
She told a description of her truck. She told a description of her clothing, what she had been wearing. And we put out a message for all officers to be watching for any clothing items that would be found to see if, you know, maybe somebody threw clothes out or dumped them out. We had an officer that found clothing hanging in bushes on the side of the road. We had a guy there taking photographs of the clothing, and it fit the description of what we told she was wearing. We told him to secure the scene, and we went up there. I was collecting the evidence, and I was bagging it up, and in the ditch, I noticed a man's wallet. And I picked up the wallet, and it contained a guy's ID. It was a Fort Smith school ID, and it's Travis McVeigh. He went to his Northside High School. He had his student ID in there. He was only like 16. So I contacted Portsmouth PD, kind of told them what was going down. And they said, we think he may be involved in a murder over here. And not knowing at the time, but the two was related. And it made it even more shocking. As the sun was coming up, they needed money and they wanted to leave town. So they went to the salvage yard, the yard that McVeigh's stepdad owned. They didn't have any money. They stole a bunch of stuff from there.
The salvage yard is owned by Mike Breedlove, the stepfather of Travis McVeigh. The salvage yard was just primarily abandoned vehicles that people would come and buy parts off of them. They stole some tools and a stereo with the plan that they were going to use that to sell and get the money and escape.
Hey, what do you think you're doing? Damn it, Travis.
Gene Seaton was just a guy working in a salvage yard. He served in effect as the night watchman because he lived in a camper on the grounds. Gene heard a disturbance in the salvage yard. In his capacity as night watchman, he had a gun, a 25 caliber pistol, and he went out to see what was going on. Of course, he knew Travis, and that's the first person he saw. He let down his guard at that point.
You scared me. What's going on here? What's that? What are you doing here?
I'm sorry, Gene.
And that's when he was attacked by Don Peterson. He attacked him because he saw the gun in his hand pointed at Travis, and so he just began to beat him. Of course, it didn't stop there.
Here, take it.
How do you not only hit somebody, but keep hitting somebody? When they first got there on the scene, they actually thought he was shot point blank with a shotgun in the face. And it turned out that it wasn't. They didn't shoot him with a shotgun. They beat him to death with a bumper jack, an old bumper jack. Just to, you know, give you an idea, he didn't have a face, he was gone. Everybody has a dark side, but the ones that show it and let it out, how do you call them anything but evil? I mean, if you saw Christie and you saw what they did to the man in Fort Smith, I mean, it's amazing that you could do that to a human being.
Mr. Seaton had suffered tremendous head trauma. His pants had been pulled down. And the bottom half of his body was exposed. It was an unusual and graphic scene. I can tell you, what it takes is a person who's evil. I've dealt with criminals, practiced criminal law. as a prosecutor, defense attorney, and judge for 41 years. And I will tell you, there are very few people that I've dealt with that I would describe as evil. I deal with a lot of people who do bad things. I've dealt with a lot of bad people who I don't lay awake at night and think about. Don Peterson's is one of those people you lay awake at night and think about. He was an evil person.
They wanted to leave town. They were going to leave and go to California.
Every day across this country on Interstate 40, there are dozens of hitchhikers looking for a ride. It runs from our jurisdiction all the way to Los Angeles. And all they want to do is get from point A to point B.
Hey, thanks, guys. Got room for one more in there?
Well, you're in luck.
Awesome. Thanks. Alrighty. Thanks again, guys.
We had a hitchhiker who wanted to get from here to there and just looking for some kind Good Samaritan to give him a ride. And he thought that's what he found.
And there was blood splatters on the roof. There's blood on the seats. It's on the floor mat.
What is that?
Oh, he picked up some new friends in Arkansas. I guess they left him a stain.
They were heading west, too.
They told him the story, what they done. And, you know, I can only imagine what was going through his head was, how do you get out of this truck, you know? It's kind of like that movie, you know, one of the movies, you got in the wrong car, you're not going to get out of this one.
I gave it to her all right. She was a fighter.
Screamer.
Did not go easy, did she?
Oh, she did not.
It seems shocking to me that three men fleeing after having committed horrible, horrible crimes would risk things by taking strangers into their vehicle, but they did.
What are you gonna do? I mean, once they see your face, right?
The hitchhiker, they're just trying to get from here to there. And I'm sure they never dreamed that a car that decides to help them out is full of murderers, but that's what happened.
They was pulling into truck stops and they were selling tools. We had Bolo be on the lookout for the vehicle.
A man named Billy Kane received a telephone call from Travis McVeigh, who indicated where he was, asking for money. They were able to track down where the call had come from. It came from a payphone in a truck stop in Quartzsite, Arizona. The authorities out there traveled to that truck stop. And when the police arrived, one of the things that Travis was doing at the truck stop was trying to wash blood out of his clothes. Now, keep in mind, this is 2-3 days later, and he's just now making an effort to wash blood out of his clothes. They were all three arrested without incident. I think probably the happiest person on that date was the hitchhiker who was in the vehicle with Winters, because he was terrified of these people. And police probably saved his life that day. We drove out there together and picked them all up and then hauled back to Arkansas. They knew each other from working together with Travis's stepfather. After work, they decided they were going to go out drinking together. Do I think that they left work thinking we're going to go kidnap a woman, rape her, stab her? No, I don't think they left work with that intent. But I think it It was an easy leap for him once the opportunity presented itself. They didn't let their conscience stand in the way.
They was kids. They was 17 and 18. And you would have think that the oldest one would have been the influencer. But he wasn't. He was the calm before the storm, literally. I mean, he hit me a few times, but not like the other two. Not like the other two.
Well, I know one of the guys, he said every time they'd hit her with a screwdriver, it sounded like it knocked the air out of her. But when they were talking about that gasping, I know I almost had to gasp myself because I kept thinking, how could you do this? You know, how can you do that to a human?
There aren't words enough to denounce what they've done. They've done horrible, evil things.
They asked me, you know, do you want to go for the death penalty? My faith wouldn't let me.
I think gaining humility from the situation was more important than gaining vengeance. We could have easily said, okay, well, I condemn these people to die, but at that point, would that make our hands any cleaner than theirs?
Henry, I want him to know that I don't blame him for anything that happened.
Yeah. Chrissy, can you give these guys a ride?
My mom said he visited me in the ICU. And that's the last time anybody's, you know, my family knew of. And I just want him to know it's okay.
Mom was a very strong person, so to see her injured in a vulnerable state, you know, I didn't really know. That was very unfamiliar for me. I just remember thinking that I was going to hurt her somehow.
He is in the Ninja Turtles big time. He goes, I mean, with tear-filled eyes. Mom, if me and the Ninja Turtles would have been there, they wouldn't have done that. I mean, it was heartfelt.
It was hard at first. Going forward, knowing that, you know, she was injured and that, you know, everybody telling me that life was going to be a little bit different. And the funny thing is, after she learned to walk, she made sure that life wasn't different. We still wrestled. We still played sports. You know, we still did all the things we used to. It was like I had my mom back. And, you know, throughout my life, I think there's a different kind of appreciation knowing that, you know, it was just this close to having all of that taken away.
In my book, she's a hero. Any way you look at it, to be stabbed that many times and have the will to not only live, you want to see your son that bad. I mean, her son needs to know just how lucky he is.
They let him out because he wasn't 18. And he was the most vicious. That just kills me that they let him out. I believe in forgiveness. I forgave him for the fact that forgiveness isn't about them, it's about me. And some days I wake up and I can't hardly walk. And I'll break down, you know. I wouldn't be like this if it wasn't for them. One of the purposes of me doing this is I want, if it helps one person find strength or faith, it's all worth it, because I know the feelings I had and what all I went through. I gotta pull myself back in. Now wait a minute, you was paralyzed, you're walking. Blessings keep going, you pass them to the next person, you smile, okay? They just keep going. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. That's all I can say.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.